Well, I love you guys. I'm so proud of you that you made it through this first semester, that you made it here tonight, even though it was cold and you wanted to go home and light a fire and eat cookies or something. So I'm really, really proud of you for coming here. And I want you to know that we are your family. These are the people you're safe with, that will love you the way you are, and then pray that God will help you to become all that you can be in Him. And so this is a sisterhood that's safe. And, you know, this weekend I was out shopping. I'm decorating my tree early. I have so many things going on. And I ran into a woman at Home Goods because I forgot one last thing. And she just came up and said, "I don't know what I would do without this church and the women's ministry." Had lost her mom, widowed, and all of a sudden she just was hanging on to me and hugging me and loving on me and just kept saying, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." So, you know, come out, you know, be a part of this family, and your holiday may not look like what your holiday has looked like before. Maybe things have changed, places have changed, maybe some people aren't around the table. But we want to be a part of your new normal, and you can make our traditions, some of your traditions. Come out on Christmas Eve and be with us. Come out to the tea. That it's going to be so wonderful. You can get tickets for $10 and just be with us. And let that be a part of your new normal, a part of what you do with your holidays, because we love you so much. So anyway, this is Team She. These are the ladies that make the magic happen. Larissa Lusco and Zanetta Romero and Frances Byrne. And they are the ones that really do so many things. So this is an evening of thanks and an evening of communion. And so we just are going to start by thanking them. It was this team, gals, that prayed and came up with hashtag deliverance. How many of you came to that? Well, that was their little birth in Christ. Little, it was big. But anyway, so I'm just so grateful to be with the A team up here. They're incredible, and I love them. So I'll start by saying thank you to you guys, and I thank you for being here as well. And, of course, that is not all of the thank yous that we need to have. I want to just thank our fellow writers who do so much on the Internet, as well as Penny Rose, who co-authored this Bible study, and she is a wise, godly woman. And so just want to shout out to Penny and thank her for her contribution. Amen. Amen. And then overseeing all of the things women's ministry do, we have a steering committee, a group of ladies that really help us to be wise as we can be and as fun and silly as we can be. And so I just want to thank the steering committee members that are here this evening as well. Some of them are in the morning. So thank you so much for all that you do in guiding and leading the women. So Zanetta, since you oversee the Bible study, there are quite a few people that you could kind of introduce down to the moderators for us, because they don't know how our little flow chart works.
Okay. Hello. Hi. Hello. Can you hear me? Okay. Yes. So the way that our flow works, we have actually, there's a Bible study overseer. So she oversees everything going on with Bible study, kind of like the right-hand person to me to make sure it all happens. So we work in a tiered structure. That's Stephanie Tapia, my BFF, Steph! In the front seat. Yay!
I was going to tell you to take a lap, but that could be exhausting.
So, and then underneath Steph, we have our moderator overseer. So she oversees all of the moderator coordinators who I'll introduce and all of the moderators. So she has a very large responsibility as well. And that's Cindy Gonzalez.
Cindy! Thank you.
And then our coordinators who oversee certain groups of moderators. So we really have the accountability down, you guys. We try to. Ruth, Gloria, and Yvonne. Is Yvonne here? Okay, well, thank you, ladies, for all that you do. So then underneath the coordinators, we have the moderators and those small group leaders. If you all can just stand up real quick, we'd like to just thank you and give you a round
all
of applause.
All the moderators. Woo! Yay. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
We love you so much. Thank you.
We just thank you for your time and that these ladies spend hours. They do the homework for themselves, but then they're praying and just before the Lord and just getting direction as to how to lead you ladies in the group, and they really take it seriously. So we thank you ladies for that.
And Larissa had a neat vision for our worship and our platform. So I'm going to let Larissa give the next thanks for those people that come behind us, but they're not there now.
Not there right now, but they will be shortly. The worship has been amazing. Natalie serves on our steering committee. She also oversees our worship, and she's just gathered bands every week, and so it's just been an anointed time of worship. So we just want to thank those gals.
Oh, so much so. And then, of course, the Titus 2 team. Christy Willis coming in and showing us how to be godly women, that the older would instruct the younger. And, of course, we had our Kiss and Make Up with Paula Riley and Diane Perez and Janae Heitzig. So thank you to that team. Franny, there is a huge team that works out over there in the foyer. Can you go through and...
The hospitality gals.
Yes.
We have such a great group of gals that are there to greet you when you come and to serve you. And we have an overseer that is kind of taking this task on to coordinate everyone. Tracy Rodden has done that.
Yes.
And
if you
she's done an amazing job. And all of you volunteers that are on hospitality, we appreciate your smiling faces. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much for that.
What else is in that foyer, Z? There's hospitality out there, but we have other things.
Sales.
Yeah, we have our product girls. Our product girls are so faithful here every week, just, again, manning those tables. We have registration tables. Anna Hernandez, she should be in here somewhere. She coordinates our Bible study
kiosk.
All right. Yay, Anna. Tony Ramirez, I think I saw you as well. Tony oversees our product. So these ladies are just so helpful, and they won't only help there. They will help anywhere. So we thank you ladies so much.
And then I have a testimony for Reload Love. I came in this morning, and I was so excited. I said, I'm going to announce that the Love Bus, we just need $650 more dollars, and we'll have collected all $50,000. And then the girl said, no, a woman can't call this morning and said, what do you have left, and wrote a check for the $650. So... the team going to Jordan is going to get to buy a bus for those Iraqi refugee kids that are being able to go to school. And with the things happening in France and across the world, you can see how severe the crisis in the Middle East and the refugees have become. And it's funny, I work with a team of people, and one of our fundraisers was calling someone this week and said, you know, do you want to help make a playground for kids? And he said, why would I help those kids? And she was like, well, let's just start that we're Christians. And Jesus said, let the children come to me. And he goes, yeah, but they're just radical and their parents are going to raise up and be radical. And she said, well, the hope is to de-radicalize, to give these kids a shot at something other than that. So our plan, our big ridiculous plan for Reload Love in the new year is we want to build 5 playgrounds in the Middle East on IDP camps. And... we had a camel run this last weekend, and we are raising money, and I'll just let you know that we are building our first playground here in New Mexico so we can learn how to do it, and that will be out in the Navajo Nation. So the week of Christmas, we'll be building a playground here for the children in our state so that we can do it overseas. And I just got a text this week that there are 2 places. So providentially, I have a dear friend who's lived in Mafraq, Jordan all her life, and a lot of Syrian refugees landed in Mafraq in 2011 and 12. And this friend said, I was touring a school, not the one we're working in Amman, but in Mafraq, and he said, it got 95 students this year, reaching out with the gospel, providing for them, and I walked to their school, and they have a site cleared for a playground, but no playground. Do you think your team would donate a playground to them? So I'm so excited that when we're in Jordan, we are actually going to be able to visit this IDP camp and pray and ask the Lord if he will provide a playground in that spot. So thank you for your prayers, but thank you, Jesus, because I don't know where you find money like that. It has to be the Lord. And so I'm just so grateful that you guys have been giving and prayerful and encouraging. So it's fruit to your account, and I can't wait to come back and show you pictures next semester so you can see. Yay! So we have some more thanks. I think that, Larissa, can you take on the kiddos?
Yes, the children's ministry. Those ladies, is that what you're talking
yeah.
about?
Yeah. In the morning, we have a whole team.
We have a whole team in the morning. And just what Roxy and her team does over there, it's pretty amazing. Paula, so we really want to thank them because it really does help out our morning gals. Mm-hmm. And also digital media. I don't know if you guys are...
Oh, have you guys noticed we're really much better at digital media this semester? Heather Campbell came to us and said, I could help with that. And so, we had our big competition for where you do your homework, and grand prizes were given out this week. And
we've already given out a couple. I don't know if anyone is here this evening that was a grand prize winner. But if so, we have your gift.
In the office? They go to the office afterwards. Okay, awesome, awesome. Prayer team, I love you. Lisa Cousins, Debbie. You guys are amazing. They're prayer warriors. So I just want to give a shout out for all that the Lord does in prayer. So I hope we got through everybody on my list that I was supposed to. Oh, set up and tear down. If you're looking for a job and you feel like you want to join the women's ministry team, there is a table that's a service table. And it doesn't mean you have to set up and tear down. But get involved. Become a part of the hospitality. Become a part of the teams. Be on the prayer group. Join up because, again, the more you're involved, the more love you share and the more God moves in your life. So please get involved in any way you can. Service table. Okay, so this evening is communion. And I was meditating on a couple of verses. You know, the Old Testament has some verses that we call messianic. In other words, they speak prophetically that the Messiah would come, or they sometimes refer to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And there are beautiful passages. Isaiah 53 is one of them. But I was meditating on a specific one in light of communion that I turned to Psalm 22. And when Jesus was on the cross, he had some sayings he uttered from the cross. But one of them is he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And it's the first verse of Psalm 22. And it's as if God pulled out a highlighter and said, in case you guys haven't caught up with what I'm doing, with what God is doing, check out Psalm 22. Because he's speaking this. And then it goes on to talk about crucifixion from an Old Testament perspective. And so it was so beautiful and yet so gut-wrenching that God, the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who had been together at creation, they've always been one, that for a moment in time, Jesus could not sense the presence of his Father. He was cut off from that presence, that oneness, that unity. And I was trying to imagine what that must have felt like. And so I was just thinking about times in my life that I have felt forsaken. And I thought maybe Larissa could share an experience in her life where she was feeling some of that maybe time of pain and separation.
What I shared this morning was the first time I was married, and it was the sense of loss. I was married when I was 27, and a month after I was married, my husband would receive a terminal diagnosis. So for 6 years, when I should have been celebrating the fact that I was a newlywed that first year, I went through a funeral procession emotionally and began grieving the loss of something that was brand new. So I can remember.
And it was very debilitating. I mean, while your husband Montana was alive, you were watching him leave bit by bit. That's it's right. One of those diseases that it's the long goodbye. It wasn't Alzheimer's. I know that's Ronald Reagan's statement. But, you know, sometimes the separation can be with someone right there in the room with you to feel that forsaken idea, and that Jesus felt that. It makes that cry really hurt, doesn't it? My God, why have you forsaken me? And so as I was pondering on that passage in Psalm 22, my head acts like a little concordant sometimes. And so my head jumped right to another passage of forsaken. And so I jumped in my head to Hebrews 13, verse 5. And Larissa or Zanetta will read that for you. But it's a beautiful passage where God says to you, because it's the Lord, it says, the Lord says that I will never leave you or forsake you. So to put that in bookends and in an understandable concept, Jesus was forsaken so you never would have to be. That's a pretty powerful statement, that what he experienced, he doesn't want you to have to experience. So go ahead and read that, Zanetta.
Okay, I'm going to read the whole thing starting from 13, verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?
It's pretty strong, isn't it? And it puts it in that context almost of, how could we want for anything else? Why would you need to be covetous when the Lord has made such an amazing promise to us that he would never leave us or forsake us? And then he says, what can man do to me? If God is with us, as Paul would say, who can be against us? Can death or life or powers or principalities, things past, things present, can anything separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord? So I was also thinking about you guys, and the winter is a long break before we come back for next semester, and I thought, I wonder if these ladies know how to meditate on Scripture. And so I thought, well, it'd be kind of fun that we'll meditate on Scripture tonight, and we're going to take the verse we just read and collaboratively meditate together. Now, I encourage you in this because sometimes we can fly by a verse, you know, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him, blah, 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 blah. And it takes away all the value of that verse. And sometimes we can whip through Scripture and just read passages and it doesn't sink in. Sometimes you got to slow it down and meditate on something. And when we meditate on it, it gives it time to be rooted in our hearts, but it also helps us memorize as well. And so the way I learned to meditate on Scripture is really simple, and we're going to do it with you. Is you just pull apart a verse, maybe just a sentence in that verse, because we can't do it all. And you kind of collaborate and brainstorm and throw out all your ideas. So I'll give you an example. That Scripture was, I will never leave you or forsake you. So let's just start with I. Who is speaking in that sentence? Who is the I in this sentence?
Me. If we read it from...
Right, if you read it from that perspective. But when it says, the Lord says, I, who is I?
Oh, God.
God. And so now let's just brainstorm and pass it around. Who is God? Go ahead and fill in the blank for me. Who is God? Sovereign. You guys can yell him out. He's sovereign.
He's sovereign. He's awesome.
All-powerful.
Almighty, all-powerful.
Creator.
I'm sorry? Emmanuel, God with us. How perfect, for he will never forsake us. That is the perfect name of God for those two verses. Anything else?
Comforter.
Comforter.
Provider.
Provider.
Our Father.
Faithful.
Redeemer.
Redeemer.
Merciful.
Merciful. So when that sentence says I, it's referring to God. So when it's I, this is God with a capital G, right? This is the big, awesome, powerful God who created heaven and earth and all that is in them. So if you're meditating on a verse and you're starting with God, why don't you just celebrate all the things about God you know? You can pull out a notebook. You can do a concordance. But just write. He's the shepherd. He's the first and last. He's the lily of the valley. He's, you know, you just go on and do the God. Okay, so I will. What does that next word mean?
It's definitive.
Yes. So it's definitive. What else is will?
Definite, absolute.
Definite, absolute. I will. Ladies? Count on it.
Yeah.
Promise.
Excellent.
I will what? Determined. I love that.
Nice.
When you say I will, what does that sound like? Anything else? Commitment.
Yes.
You guys have to yell them louder. Guarantee, Larissa just said. Promise. So if you look at that text, that it says, I will. So this is the Creator God who is determined and has a purpose, authority, will, power. I mean, this is like take it to the bank, right? I will. If whatever follows that, he can do it, right? Okay, so here's the twist in this verse. I will never. Zanetta, Francis?
Never.
Never, ever,
never, ever, ever.
No what? Doubt, no.
Yeah, never. I will never what? Never. No, just stick with the never. What is it? If I said I will never, by no means, could anyone change your mind if I will never?
At no time.
At no time.
Endless.
Endless. Pardon me? Till the end of time. Absolute. If God says, I will never, how is this incredible God who's amazing, omnipotent, omniscient, everything, and he will, he can have all the strength he needs to do what I wants to do, and then I will never? You mean God put parameters on himself? He said to something he wasn't going to do it. I mean, we were just in, I will. And then he goes, I will never. Never. I mean, all right, ladies, is there anything you could say I will never? But God put that boundary on himself. There are a few things he'll never do. It says God will never lie. So I will never, and now I will never forsake. Forsake.
Abandon.
Turn your back on. Turn away from.
Neglect. Leave.
Shun.
Betray.
Anything else? Look down upon, reject. Pardon me? Leave you. Never give up on you. Are there some prodigal mothers of prodigals here tonight? Could you say, I will never? Could you get to that place that that child has the assurance. How about in your marriage? I will never. What things are you willing to limit yourself? Doesn't I will never sound like an act of will? Larissa, have you ever put boundaries on yourself like that? That there are some things that you would just never?
Well, I've tried. but just never.
Your children, your grandchildren.
Well, giving up, never giving up praying. I will never give up praying for them. Yeah. Never give up praying for the salvation of a loved one. I almost did. And then they came to salvation.
Thank you, Lord.
Mm-hmm. And that is a true Larissa trait. She is one of the fiercest prayer warriors I know, who actually fasts and pray, putting it to a whole new level. And I've watched her pray for family members. So, I mean, maybe it's too much that I will never fail you, because we probably will, but maybe I will never stop praying for you. That's good. Mm-hmm. What are some of the I will nevers that you could plant in your life? So, I will never leave. What does that mean to you?
Yeah, go away.
Go away.
Abandon.
Abandon. Reject. So you're adding back to that word never. You're realizing now when this person is saying never, they're really now qualifying what they will never, and they're saying they will never leave. Zanetta, have you had a situation where people have left or you have been left?
Yes, and the first thing that comes to my mind is with my divorce, because although, you know, the whole story doesn't matter, divorce is what it is, and leaving, whoever leaves, it just leaves this tremendous pain behind and something daily that you have to walk to, and leaves scars that you have to bear and deal with on a day-to-day basis. And there's just, for me, there's been just, and for you, I say to you too, that there's just no way to get through something like that without daily doing what Lenya is trying to teach us here tonight, like going back to God's word and thinking about it and meditating on it and knowing it, because that's what helps you to take that next step and just deal with today.
But Larissa, now having had a husband who's passed or divorced, coming back to Larissa, what does it mean to you, and how should it sink into us? Because I'm a child of divorced parents, so I understand that forsaking, leaving concept. What does it mean to you when Heavenly Father, Father God, says to you, I will never leave?
He's never going away. It's incomprehensible, because I understand what it's like for someone to leave or to be taken. And this is forever, infinity, eternity. God will always, always, always be there. Always.
Right. And some of us have abandonment issues. Maybe you've been adopted. Maybe there have been transitions in your life, and to have such an assurance that he says, I will never leave. So if that's the case, and I'm going to assume that you're a Christian, therefore, is there anything you could do that would make him leave? Because he said, I will never leave. Is God true? Is his word true or not?
Yep.
That's right. And some of us think, if I would just pray more, if I would just whatever more, if I would just, you know, that his presence, you know, the presence of God in the Old Testament and the New Testament are different. Did you know that? In the Old Testament, God's presence came upon people, but didn't remain like you and I have when Jesus comes and lives in our heart. If you were a prophet, the Spirit would come upon you and prophesy, but he wouldn't stay there. If you were a king, he might come upon you for the anointing, but like Saul, King Saul, the Spirit departed from Saul. As you recall, Samson had the Spirit where he was wrecking doors and killing people with a jawbone and all kinds of things, and then the Spirit departed from him and he didn't even know it, right? Because he thought he would behave just as he had before, but Delilah had cut his hair and the Spirit departed. So in the Old Testament, the believers were fearful that God could depart. As a matter of fact, that was part of his punishment. He would leave the nation. He would leave them at times as a way of getting their attention. Therefore, you can see where the psalmist said, O Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Francis, can you imagine God taking his Spirit from you? What that would feel like?
I would feel so alone and empty. I've had so many powerful times, how the Holy Spirit works through me, and I just can't even imagine.
I don't think I could go a day, an hour, I mean, tomorrow morning, if I woke up like Jesus on the cross and I could not feel my Father's presence, I would be devastated. Devastated. But that's how it was like in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the Spirit comes with a whole different thing, as we learned, that He will be in you, with you, and upon you. And when God comes to make residence in your heart, He says, I will never leave. So let's get to that. I will never leave you. Who is you?
Me.
Oh, what? It's Susan? No way. Steph? Get out of here. Cindy? Really? You can just put your name in that. But does, when Jesus said that, did He mean you?
Yes.
Oh, He did? So when you read Scripture, the Scripture's really for you? Because it's living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. So when God says, I will never leave you, He didn't mean Lazarus and Mary. He meant you, right? But sometimes, I don't know about you guys, I can be in the midst of an feeling or a situation that I think God has abandoned me. Anybody? Oh,
yes.
Thank you for being honest. And you're going, if God is a God of love, then da-da-da-da. Where is God? Ba-ba-ba-ba. And so then that's where you end up to the I will never leave you. Because sometimes you get stuck in the you. Have you ever had times like that, Zanetta, where it just kind of turned into a poor, poor, pitiful me? You were just stuck in the you?
Yes. That's nothing to be proud of, though. I've had many of those times. And, you know, that's why even we talked about this, I think, over the semester. You even mentioned this, but having really close godly friends that will even hold you accountable when you are doing that and point you back to the Word of God. Steph does that for me all the time. You know, Larissa, I have so many friends who will do that and just point me back to the Word, and like, you need to focus on this because you're doing this, you know. So yes, many of those times, and God is always faithful. And just to say one more thing about that is that He, every time that you go to Him in His Word, He doesn't necessarily, this is what I've learned, He doesn't necessarily speak to you about that specific thing that maybe you're so me-focused.
That's right.
He will give you like a word of encouragement or something different because it takes your focus to Him. He totally does that. He's not even going to answer what you're maybe struggling with at that time.
Okay, so, now I'm not going to get all English on you or anything. Okay, so I'm not. But in the sentence, I will never leave you, where is more of the power on the pronoun or the noun? Who's the more powerful noun? The I. Is it I or you? So as you're meditating, you can go back to, wait a minute over here. It's I. You are the recipient. You are the one that benefits from it. So anyway, I will never leave you or forsake you. And we've already talking about forsaking. Did you see how, like, in 15 minutes, how much we chewed on one verse and meditate on it? And this is what I'm going to encourage you. All of you are probably going through things that are different things. I don't know what the thing is, but I'm positive there is a promise or a scripture that will answer that thing.
That's right.
So you pop out your concordance, or you go online and you Google promises about whatever situation you're in. And during this break, meditate. Take that scripture and chew on it and chew on it. Write about it. Journal about it. Memorize it. And I can't wait to hear what God has done over the break, so that when we get back, you can tell us what promise you meditated on and hung on to. And Father, on that cross you hung for us, Lord. And Father, you lay there with a broken body. You watched your Son, Jesus. And Jesus, you took our sin upon yourself. You were beaten. You were struck with a closed fist. Your body was broken. You were scourged. Father, you were punched, Lord Jesus. And then, Jesus, you willingly carried your cross, Father Jesus. You laid your life down for us, Jesus.
Jesus, you laid on that cross and you allowed spikes to be driven through your hands and through your feet. And Jesus, you were lifted up. And Jesus, you were forsaken by the Father for us. Your body was beaten, Lord, and that's what you asked us to remember. You asked us to come to do this in remembrance of you, Lord, and we remember. We never want to forget. We want to remember the sacrifice on the cross of your broken body. So, Jesus, we take the bread in remembrance of you.
Body and what you did for us. And as you hang there on that cross, Lord, for us, we thank you for your blood. We thank you that your blood covers a multitude of sins. We thank you that your blood was poured out, that we may never have to face death, but that death would pass over us because your blood covers. Your blood covers. Your blood makes us whiter than snow. Your blood, like we sang about tonight, Lord, has the power to break every chain, every sin. Your blood is enough. Your blood is enough. Your blood is enough, and you did it for me. You did it for each lady in here. We just praise you and we thank you for the blood of the Lamb that was shed for us. We thank you that we will one day get to see and have our eyes fixed upon this Lamb for what he did for us. We thank you that we will forever get to be in your presence. And I pray that we would remember, we would cry out and speak of your blood. We understand that this is just something that is just power for us in our lives. We remember you this evening as we drink the juice to remember that death has passed over. We are eternally saved, eternally with you. Amen.
Well, communion is always better when we're together, right? And I know that there will be times during this holiday season you may be alone, but you never have to be lonely. Because he will never leave you. And he will never forsake you. So I just pray you will carve out time for Christ during Christmas. And that you will set aside some just Jesus time. You know, anytime you're starting to feel lonely, then make it a Jesus moment. Commune with him. And then when you need something with skin on, then get over here to church. Come to the tea, come to Christmas Eve, come to so many things that will be happening here. Because you are our family and we love you very much. And we want to be a part of the holidays with you. So God bless you. Thank you for being here.